turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, if you would. We're going to read two verses today. Mercy, Adam, you mean a five-minute message on two verses? Nope. We're going to stretch it out. There's other verses that will back this up. But we're going to focus on two verses on Matthew chapter 14. As you turn to Matthew chapter 14, man, let's respond to His love for us. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Mercy, that was powerful everywhere. Thank you. I heard it here, here, and here. And that was powerful. And I love that because this is His day. This is a day that He made. And we do want to rejoice and be glad in it, even when we face trials and tribulations and the different things we go through. Amen? All right. Well, I love it. Two verses, Matthew chapter 14, verse 35 and 36. Let's read that together. Verse 35 and 36. And it simply says this: and when the men of that place recognized Him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to Him all who were sick, and begged Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. That's our two verses. That's where we focus. Again, I'm going to reference other verses that we'll talk about, five or six other verses. But as we grow in Christ, and we should all be stretching to grow in Christ, our young people, we got one there, two back there, well, three, a couple over there. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Our young people, our youngest of the young, we should be striving to grow in Christ. Even our early 20-year-olds, younger in the 30s, we should be striving to grow in Christ. Usually when you buy a plant of some sort, now you may buy one and say, I want this one. Why? Because it won't grow any bigger than this. That's okay. But sometimes we buy plants and we think, I want that to grow. I buy this, or I buy a sapling or a seedling. You ever get just those little skinny things? You think, will that survive? I have two in my front yard. They survived and they're growing. So we want to grow in Christ, and that's His desire for us to grow in Christ. And we should have that same desire. We should have a want and a need. I want to grow in Christ. I want to share what? The good news of Christ with other people. Now, over the years, I've talked to people, and it's like, hey, tell me your story, you know, about your conversion. Ah, that's kind of private and all that. Well, maybe that process was, but our faith should not be a private thing at all. We should be sharing that and have a desire to share that with everybody all over the place. Maybe people we know, maybe people we don't know. I know there's a comfort level involved with all that as well. But we should have a desire to share this. It's kind of like Amway. Who do you share it with? Family, friends, and neighbors, you know? And then people you don't know or something like that. The desire comes from a concern or burden from us for the salvation of those that are lost. That desire should come as we grow in Christ. Our young people, again, this is why we want to be rooted in Sunday school and the extra things we do, the King's Kids and the Ground Zero and the Young Adult Group and the Adult Bible Study. Why? So we can grow past just reading the words. I can read the words. I've said this before, I love MASH, and one of my favorite MASH episodes is when Charles, he is an amazing doctor on MASH, very full of himself, but an amazing doctor, and he loves music more than anybody in that camp. And he said, I can read the notes on the page, but I cannot play the music. That's where we are if we just read the words on the pages. I can read the Bible. Many people have read it. They know it. But they don't understand it. They don't comprehend the beauty of the melody or the music that is coming off these pages by those that wrote it and those that inspired it. God, we want to have a passion that grows out of our heart for the lost. Now, making it clear, that's not just for pastors or elders or adults. Young people, that's for you to take it out to your schools and your classrooms and your workplaces. It's for all of us to have that passion that we learn and we study and we grow. Again, we just looked at two verses right there. Two verses. Now let me ask you, in the midst of those two verses, do you have a concern or a burden for the lost? Do we as a church have a concern or burden for the lost as well? Let's look into these things. Jesus Christ definitely had a burden for that. And he calls us to what? Imitate him. Be Christ-like in your behavior. Have the aroma of Christ. And he calls us to be his ambassadors, his representatives. I love when I walk in work and I, for some reason, find it amusing when I startle people. So I try and scare them. And what do you hear a lot of people say when you scare them? Jesus Christ! Oh, I'm sorry. And I say, no, but I am his ambassador. And he came, sent me to talk to you about that. And that's what they holler out. And then they're like, I'm so sorry. Why are you sorry to me? Oh, because you know I'm a pastor. Okay, let's just think about this in a bigger text. So I want to reference a couple scriptures. You can turn there. You don't have to. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And Jesus is talking to Zacchaeus, and he's gone. And Zacchaeus, remember, a little guy, a wee little guy, according to the song, climbs up in a tree. And Jesus says, make haste and come down. And in verse 10 of Luke 19, well, verse 9, let's go there, because that's where it starts. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. And then verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? That which was what? Lost. We have to know that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He had a burden for the lost. Now, if we turn over to John chapter 9 or John chapter 3, and I wrote in my notes 13 as I was going back reviewing that, I thought this doesn't line up with the scripture notes I have down. But John chapter 3, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. Let's go back to 15, though. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has a passion and a burden for the lost. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. And then what does it say right after that? Condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Now listen carefully. Light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. When we look around and we think, oh my gosh, where are my friends? Where are my relatives? Where are my neighbors? Where are the lost? They're hiding in the darkness many times. Not always. And I get right now with COVID, if you're watching on Facebook Live, if you're watching, I'm not saying that everyone that isn't here is lost in darkness. But I'm saying that's when people don't, or why people don't come to church many times. They prefer the darkness. Why? Because the light exposes that which was done in darkness. Now if we flip over a little bit further in John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. The wrath of God is going to hang out with him who does evil. Jesus Christ has a passion for the lost. One more verse before we move on. John chapter 10, verse 10. I referenced this a couple weeks ago as we were talking about planting and growing and protecting the seed that we plant. In verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. But chapter 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But remember, he says, I come that they may have life, and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. He has a passion for the lost, and he desires for us to have life and not death. The wages of sin is what? Death, according to Romans. Now let's read our scripture one more time. Matthew chapter 14, verse 35 and 36 only. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Man, what were the action things that they did? You know, if you study sentences, and God bless you if you do, but if you study grammar and all that stuff and how it goes, the action words that were recognized, they sent out, they brought, they begged, and they touched. Just a few things in two verses. Now, as we talk about us, those of us that know Jesus Christ, again, we should have a desire and a passion to reach out to the lost. As we look at this, and we look at what is this telling us and how do we respond to the Scripture, I want us to look at what it tells us first of all. What does it tell us about the lost people? And it tells us three things. They were diseased, they were distant, and they were disabled. And we'll take a look at that. The diseased, many people may have religion, they may be good moral people, they may be well respected. Decent, if you will. Good people, but lacking salvation. And their argument sometimes has been, many famous people are good people, and their argument is, are you telling me that your God that is so good would keep me out for all that I have done for people? I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Sounds like it. And that is part of the disease. Without salvation, which is faith in Jesus Christ, they are lost and they are sinners. And sometimes a sin of ignorance. Romans 6:23, we said it earlier, the wages of sin is death. People live and die every day without God and without hope. And I hate that people exist without hope. Now, I got to say that sometimes we're going through heavy stuff in our life. And we've got trials. But we can also be hope for other people. In the midst of our trials, we can be hope for other people. Number one, as we persevere. As we press through. As we press on. We can say, I've been there. And it was a struggle for me too. We don't have to say, I've been there, but man, I got through it, no problems. Man, I've been right there where you are. And I didn't think I could make it out. But let me tell you how I was able to press on. And that's hope to people living in darkness, living in fear, living in the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on. We're diseased people. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I had actually several scriptures I wanted to connect. But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12. And it says that at the time you were without Christ. At a time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no what? Having no hope and without God in the world. That is a scary place to be, and we should be concerned for those that are living as strangers in a world without Christ and without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, but you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I don't want to complicate this, It just says we're diseased people and we're lost and we need a Savior. They were distant. Go out to the surrounding regions. They were geographically distant, but also spiritually distant. In this day and age, we are spiritually distant from Jesus Christ. Matthew 9:36 says this. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Jesus Christ was moved to compassion when he saw the multitudes. Why? Because they were weary, like some of you may be. They were scattered, like some may be, like sheep having no shepherd. That is a dangerous place to be, a sheep with no shepherd. Jesus had compassion for the lost. And he had concern for those that were distant from him. The third thing I said is we are disabled. The lost. When we are lost, we are disabled. Sin is what disables us. Romans 5:6 says, when we were without strength, meaning when we were disabled, Christ died for us. And then in case we don't know what that means, he says, us what? The ungodly. Many are disabled by pride, by falsehood, by lust, by drinking, by drugs, by a multitude of sins. They are disabled by that. So when we think about these things and we think, okay, we've identified the lost. Now what do I do about them, Adam? When do we get concerned about those lost individuals? At our young age. At our young age. At our young age. At our older age. When do we get concerned? Verse 35, right at the beginning. And when the men of that place recognized him. That's when we get concerned. When we recognized who? And what Jesus Christ is. And who he is in our lives. Now sometimes that means we've got to shine a little light on who Jesus Christ is in our life. Why? Because I keep him in the dark closet there with some other stuff. Oh, the other stuff. My Sunday best. I pull that out of that dark closet and I pull Jesus Christ out. And I take both of those to church with me. Got my Sunday best. Got Jesus Christ. Let's go. Whew, church is over. Boom. Bam. Turn the light out. Shut the door on Jesus Christ and our Sunday best. We need Jesus Christ. And when we recognize who and what he is, that's when we go out. When we know him, our response is to go. Know and go, they go together when we're talking about Jesus Christ. The more we know him, the quicker we respond. The further we go. Or is it farther? See, I don't know. I put both down on my paper. I don't know. We go much longer when we get to know them. More distance. How's that? Feel free to tell me if it's further, farther. I don't care, but I do care. You know, we want to be proper. But we go a longer distance when we know him. The disciples did this. Jesus went and says he called Andrew. And Andrew said, what? Oh, let me get my brother Simon. Peter said, we have found the Messiah. Let me take you to him. The disciples modeled this behavior. Know him and go to him and take others with you. Okay, Adam, I'm concerned. I know him. I understand I've got to do this. Now, what do I do? What's my action on these two verses? The men of that place, they recognized him. They sent out into the surrounding region. They brought to him those that were sick. They begged him that if they touched the hem of his garment, they would be made well. That's pretty simple. They sought him. They brought others and they begged. three things. When we have that burden, when we know who Jesus Christ is, and our burden should be growing in us to identify the lost, to bring them to Christ. They looked for needy souls. They recognized him. They sent out into all that surrounding region. Let's go a little bit further. Jesus Christ is here. Let's go outside of these four walls. Let's go into the surrounding region. Well, how big is that, Adam? You tell me. Is it your home? Is it your neighborhood? Is it your school? Your classrooms? Your workplace? The grocery store? This town? An event that you can help participate in? They looked for needy souls in the surrounding region. Brought to him all who were sick. They brought people to him. We have to go out and find the lost. They're not always just going to stumble through our doorway. I'm lost. I need Jesus. I know this. I'm going to go into church. That's great when that happens. But let me tell you, they're out there going, I'm lost, I need Jesus, but I don't know how to find him, and I don't know where. And they're waiting for you to come up with a light, and to come up with some love, and some hope, but not be a balcony Christian. Hey, lost sinner, I'm sending Jesus down. Boom. Hope he makes it and walk off. We cannot sit up in the balcony and tell people about Jesus Christ and move on. And hope for the best. Now, there's times that may be the best we can do when we encounter someone. We've got this much time frame. Man, they just said, hey, tell me about yourself. Hey, let me tell you. I'm a pastor. I'm this. I'm that. Hey, man, I'm just lost and I'm fumbling around in life. Let me tell you. I can tell you this, Jesus Christ loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he loves you. And he desires for you to be in communion with him. Hey, I got to go catch my bus. Think about that. Find a church. Find someone. We may only have this much. We have to think, what are we going to tell those that are lost? They went out to find the lost, and they brought the lost back. They brought to him all who were sick. And then it says they begged. They begged. What does that mean? That means they pleaded with Jesus. That means they prayed. They prayed an awful lot. And it says they begged him, Jesus, that they, the sick and diseased, might only touch the hem of his garment. And then it says, as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Church, we have to pray. We have to pray for our situation. We have to pray for our needs. We have to pray for others. And I know sometimes the fear is if we pray for the lost, God will reveal who they are and where they are. And it may turn out that I know them and I work with them or I pass by them every day or, oh, Lord, please not them, anyone but them. Beg and plead with Jesus, show me where the lost are. And sometimes it's a simple conversation just to find out who they are and where they are and what they're going through. Two simple verses tells us so much. When they recognized him, we have to recognize Jesus Christ. My favorite story of all time, and I tell it often. Santa Claus right there. Eric Ferguson. And I love it. As my son Austin stared deeply into the eyes of Santa Claus. He said he looked just like Santa Claus, but his eyes looked just like Eric Ferguson. Now, he was young. This wasn't last year. Okay, that Eric surprised Austin when he was 19. He was young. And how did he know what the eyes of Eric Ferguson looked like? Because he spent time with him. Lots of time. How many times you walk around, you see people with a mask on? Well, quite often these days, with a mask on, you're thinking, do I know that person? Do I not? You recognize certain things about them if you've spent time with them. And Jesus said, spend time with me and get to know me. Young people, young adults, spend time with him. Now is a time when people leave Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for our young people that are serving in our church, by the way. Yes, give them a hand. And I love that. Spend time with him. Recognize him. But new Christians, those that are immature in their faith, you may have known him for 20, 30 years, but you may be immature in your walk. But let me tell you, one of the quickest ways to grow is to have a passion for the lost and have a passion to find them and help them and be hope and be encouragement to them. In closing, let me share this with you. Don't close your Bibles up yet, but in closing, let me tell you a couple things we know. Now you can close your Bible, it's okay. We know that there's lost people out there. We just found that. There's lost people. We should, all of us that are in Christ, should have a burden or a concern for the lost souls. And then we should take action to be hope, light, and encouragement to them. Seek. They sought them out. Seek the lost. They brought them in. Bring them in. Sometimes it's as simple as an invitation. And then pray. Beg. You can beg. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but I want to ask this. I want you to think about, do you have a family member that's lost, that has not been saved? Now, you may have a lost family member that's been saved, but they're lost again. They don't know their way. What we can do there is just be a light to them. Sometimes that lighthouse just has a spinning light every now and then. I just want to make sure when you're ready to come home, when you're ready to come in out of that harbor, and you're ready to come home, this light's going to be on. And by the way, we're going to be relentless in making sure that light stays lit and make sure that it's constantly spinning so that you won't be lost out there at sea. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just ask you today to give us that burden. Give us that concern for the lost. Mature us in faith by showing us those that are lost. Lord, where we're inexperienced and knowing how to handle it, just give us a few words we can say. These two verses were pretty simple. There's lost souls. We should have a concern or burden for them. And we need to take action and pray for them. Lord, for those that are watching on Facebook, those that are here today, I ask you just to give us at least one name of someone we can begin praying about that's lost. And help open windows so that we can bring them to salvation. Give them hope. Give them life everlasting and life more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.